I will call to order the Senate Committee on Rules. We have four Senate concurrent resolutions up before us today. And what I'm going to do is open up a public hearing on all four because we have witnesses who want to address all four resolutions. So I will open a public hearing on SCR 6, SCR 8, SCR 9, and SCR 10. Sheree.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. SCR 6 honors and recognizes Sergeant Jason Michael Gooding of the Seaside Police Department for his service to the state. SCR 8 honors and recognizes Deputy Roy Hugo Dirks for his service to the state. There is the Dash 1 amendment to SCR 8, which simply just clarifies some of the personal information provided in the bill. SCR 9 recognizes and honors Deputy Carlton Edmund Smith for his service to the state. And lastly, SCR 10 recognizes and honors Reserve Deputy Robert Milton Riley for his service to the state. Fiscal and revenue paperwork for the bills and their associated amendment indicate that there is no impact associated with these measures. And
okay. And we have to lead off our testimony today, Senator Przanski. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, committee members, for giving me the opportunity to kind of be the springboard for the introduction of our other speakers for today. John Kilcullen
is the... Put your name on the record.
Yes, Floyd Przanski, State Senator, District 4, representing parts of Lane and Douglas counties. So you'll be hearing from John Kilcullen. John and I have known each other for many, many years. He was pro tem as one of the judges for the Eugene Municipal Court when we got to know each other pretty well, better, as well as also in Florence. He served in that same capacity. He's now, I think, quasi, if not officially, retired from the practice of law, but he may be correcting my errors here. John and I have most recent experiences, unfortunate, where he lost his son, Chris Kilcullen, who was an EPD officer at the time of his death when Chris was attempting to stop a reckless driving motorist and just in the on his way home back to where he lived on the east side of Springfield. And unfortunately, that situation reached a threshold where he was shot, and the shot was fatal. So we've had the opportunity to hear through this legislature issues involving naming of different locations for officers, and I'm happy to report that this legislature did, in fact, authorize for the 105, also 126, which is the bypass between Eugene and Springfield, in honor of Chris Kilcullen. Today we're here wanting to pay tribute and honor to four individuals. I've been asked to speak about on three of the individuals that were more related to the geographic area that I serve in, being in the Lane County area. SCR 8, as we've heard, is for Lane County Sheriff's Deputy Roy Hugo Dirks. SJR 9 is for Deputy Carlton Edmund Smith, and SCR 10 is for Deputy Reserve Deputy Robert Milton Riley. All of these individuals served their communities as officers of the law, and they had paid, you know, unfortunately, in the sense of their dedication, commitment, but also resulted in deaths at some point, you know, in their careers. What I wanted to do is we did receive a email from one of the family members of the Lane County Sheriff Deputy Roy Hugo Dirks, and this is his, I believe it is his daughter, Denise. And Denise said that she wanted me to let the committee know that they are very appreciative that the committee is taking this up. Unfortunately, because of the distance that they live away from the Capitol, and she's actually in the state of California, that they would not be able to be in attendance today. She did ask me for to honor her father by trying to break the ice here and tell a joke. So I asked my staff to please help me out. And so we looked at some of the stuff that Deputy Dirks was appreciative of, and one of the areas was fishing. So here we go. Three-fourths of the earth's surface is water. One-fourth is land. It is quite clear that the good Lord intended us to spend triple the amount of time fishing as compared to taking care of the lawn. And that's attributed to Chuck Clark, who was the original person for that little icebreaker. So, Madam Chair, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity. I am going to ask to be excused to go to some other testimony and other obligations.
Thank you, Senator. Are there any questions or comments or or appreciations for Senator Pazansky?
Thank you
for
Madam Chair, keep your day job flowing.
Okay, our next witnesses will be a panel: John Kilcullen, Chief Dave Hamm, and Mary Noonan Kemp. Welcome to the committee.
Thanks for having
me.
Looks like I get to be first. Good afternoon, Madam Chair, and thank you, committee members, for allowing us to be present. As you now know, my name is John Kilcullen, and I'm the father of Chris Kilcullen. Chris was the Eugene police officer who was killed in the line of duty on April 22, 2011. And as Senator Prozansky mentioned, we were honored to have signs erected along I-105 between Eugene and Springfield, which was the road on which he was killed, erected. I'm also a former Lane County Deputy Sheriff, and it is in that role that I'm asking this body to make it possible for road signs to be erected that honor the ultimate sacrifice made by three Lane County Deputy Sheriffs. They're Robert Milton Riley, Carlton Edmund Smith, and Roy Hugo Dirks. In the audience with me this afternoon are Steve Riley. Steve is the son of Robert Riley, who was one of the officers. Also present is Dan Buchwald. He's a captain with the Lane County Sheriff's Office. In regards to Senate Concurrent Resolution 10, Robert Riley was born June 12, 1922. He grew up and attended high school in the small town of Elkton, which is in Douglas County, Oregon. He served in World War II as a member of Merrill's Marauders in Burma and India. After returning from the war, Deputy Riley joined the Eugene Police Department as a reserve officer and attained the rank of lieutenant in that department. He later joined the Lane County Sheriff's Office back on March 20 of 1958 as a special deputy reporting directly to the Sheriff Elder at that time. On August 17, 1958, Deputy Riley was riding in a patrol car with the Eugene police officer. The officers had responded to a burglar alarm in Springfield, and as they cleared that call, a suspect was seen driving in an erratic manner. They gave chase. Unfortunately, Deputy Riley was killed when the patrol car he was a passenger in was struck by another vehicle and went out of control. Deputy Riley was married to Vanola, who also happened to be a matron with the sheriff's office at the time. They had a son, Stephen, who turned 7 on the day that his father was killed. Stephen later became a police officer in the city of Eugene and is presently the police chief of the Lagawa Tribal Police. Deputy Riley came from a law enforcement family. In addition to his son and wife, 8 other relatives have served their country in law enforcement capacities. Deputy Riley had many interests and achievements. He was a self-taught electrician and he was an inventor. His inventions included illuminated fishing lures. I'm not sure how well they work, but it's interesting. Articulated screwdrivers and duck decoys. He enjoyed model railroading, and he was active in the community, volunteering as a deacon and teacher of his church. Deputy Riley was close to his family and is greatly missed by them. Moving on to Senate Concurrent Resolution 9. Carlton Smith was another Oregonian who chose to serve his community as a law enforcement officer. Deputy Smith was born March 3, 1932, in Brookings, which, as you know, is in Curry County, southern Oregon coast. He and his brother, Robert, grew up around family. Deputy Smith graduated from Reedsport High School in 1950. He married Margaret and became an immediate stepfather. He and Margaret then had three sons, Randy, Denny, and Chris. Deputy Smith began his law enforcement career in 1957. The Springfield Police Department. He left that department in 1959, but returned to law enforcement in 1965. That evening, while on patrol, Deputy Smith stopped a car that turned out to be filled with a couple of convicted felons. They were speeding near Valley River Center. They came out with guns and shot and killed him that day. This also happened to be his first day on the job with the Lane County Sheriff's Office, and his death occurred just 1 hour before his first shift was to end. Deputy Smith spent as much time as possible with his family. He also enjoyed sport fishing and scuba diving. In addition, he was able to find time to be a baseball coach and high school football referee. Deputy Smith's passion for law enforcement was passed on to two of his sons. Denny joined the Eugene Police Department, and Randy worked for the Junction City Police Department, Deschutes County Sheriff's Office, and Eugene Police Department. He also went to work for the Lane County Sheriff's Office, where he attained the rank of captain and recently retired as commander of the Lane County Jail, which is the position that Captain Buckwald now holds. Deputy Smith left a loving family and many friends who still miss him. Moving on to Senate Concurrent Resolution 8, that is about Roy Dirks. Roy was my friend and someone I worked with as a detective with the Lane County Sheriff's Office. I can honestly say from my personal experience that he was one of the best detectives the Sheriff's Office ever had. Roy was born in Roseburg, down in Douglas County, on November 9, 1938. He had four siblings, one of whom was killed in the Korean War. Roy graduated from Reedsport High School in 1954, where he was a cheerleader, athlete, and member of the Lucky Seven Club. He was also a mentor to fellow students. Roy enlisted in the Army and served from 1955 to 1957. He was a boxer and a military police officer. Deputy Dirks' law enforcement career began in 1958 with the Eugene Police Department. In 1965, Deputy Dirks left EPD and joined the Lane County Sheriff's Office, where he was assigned as a resident deputy in Cottage Grove. He transferred to detectives in 1967 and was assigned to the narcotics team. He also worked major crimes. One of the cases that I remember Roy handling was a murder that he was working on. He knew that there was a witness that had information that would lead to who the perpetrator was. He agreed to meet that witness at a local bar, and that witness agreed to provide him with the information he needed if Roy could beat him in a game of pool. As it turns out, Roy was able to beat him at pool and ultimately solved that case. Detective Dirks was a hard-working officer who did his job with compassion, dedication, and diligence. On April 11, 1975, Detective Dirks was alone while investigating a matter in the McKenzie River area east of Springfield. He was in the mountains outside of Blue River, which is up about milepost 43 of 126, when he came upon a well-known cult called Members of the Valley of Life. This particular cult was headed up by a fairly notorious individual named Snake Brooks. Anyway, members of that cult shot and killed Detective Dirks while he was just inquiring of what was going on. We later learned that they were on a trek going across the Cascade Mountain to end up in Redmond or Sister for some reason. Anyway, Detective Dirks loved fishing, telling jokes, riding motorcycles, golfing, singing, dancing, and playing guitar. And as you might guess, he was a pretty good pool player. At the time of his death, Roy Dirks was attending Lane Community College, studying criminal justice. He had ambitions of attending law school. He would be proud to know that one of his daughters, Denise, achieved that goal and is now a practicing attorney in California. Detective Dirks left behind a large family that included six daughters and their mothers, brothers, aunts, uncles, and innumerable friends and co-workers. I still get together with a lot of the co-workers that work with Roy and me back a long time ago. Roy is greatly missed by his family, his many friends. I can tell you from personal knowledge that losing a loved one in the line of duty is devastating. I also know how rewarding and reassuring it is to see a road sign that was erected that publicly recognizes the loss, the family, friends, co-workers, and community of a fallen officer experience. On behalf of their families, friends, and co-workers, I ask this body to recognize and honor Deputy Riley, Deputy Smith, and Deputy Dirks for their service to the people of this state. Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, thank you very much for being here. It's my privilege to be representing the city of Seaside. My name is David Hamm. I am the chief of police for the Seaside Police Department. I'm going to come at you with a couple of perspectives as I introduce Sergeant Jason Gooding to you, and one is going to be from the professional side as a chief of police, and then second as a very good friend to him. One of the things I'd like to start out with is to tell you a little bit about his career with us. He started as a police officer with the Seaside Police Department in 2003. He had been a reserve officer for the city of McMinnville just a short time before we picked him up full time. He's been a great officer the 13 years or so that he was with us, making rank fairly quickly, moving into detective earlier before that, did a great job. He's a very motivated officer, very fair, just was out there to do a good job, do a great job for the community of Seaside. One of the things that he was great at as a supervisor and as a police officer was the one that just the direct line supervision and mentoring that he had of his younger officers. The night of February 5th, 2016 is a date that I'll never forget. This is a night where Sergeant Gooding was on patrol in uniform, wearing a badge, and ran across one of our known local felons. This felon, as far as I'm concerned, shouldn't have been on the streets at the time. And Sergeant Gooding attempted to arrest him on an outstanding warrant. He had cover with him. Officer Davidson was with him this evening when they made contact with him and gave verbal commands that he was under arrest. The authority was well known as they were in uniform displaying their badge. They attempted to use their verbal judo and their ability to tell them to do what they want and have them comply with their commands and what they wanted to do, whether it be turn around, put your hands behind your back, and that you're under arrest, and this person failed to do so. From a concealed pocket, one round was discharged from the suspect. That round just missed being arrested by the ballistic vest that Officer Sergeant Gooding was wearing that night, and was a fatal mortal wound. Sergeant Gooding died on the streets of Seaside on Broadway, if you've ever been there, just that evening, and it was a terrible and continues to be a very terrible experience for our department, his family, and the community of Seaside. But I just wanted to kind of come in here and tell you a little bit about that night. And a little bit about him as the police officer that, again, I know him as I've supervised him over the years and then ultimately became his chief. The better reason that I like to be here is because over those years that we became very close friends, or a small department, and that may sound weird that your chief of police is also one of your best friends, but that's the way our community is, the size of our agency is. Our family became very close, vacationing together regularly, getting together for whatever it is and whatever reason, and so I wanted to talk a little bit about what a great guy he is, and Jason really was that. He was the best of friends to pretty much anybody that he would meet. As you run across community members in Seaside, there's always a quick story of how they were touched by Jason, whether he had coached one of their kids in basketball or he had just, you know, ran across them at dinner and just had some kind of impact. He was very well known, very personable, and just a great person. One story that came out, and maybe you read about it or maybe you heard about it in the news at the time of this happening last year, was we were at a candlelight vigil just a few days after Jason had been murdered, and one of our homeless drug addicts that I've known since, you know, since starting 21 years ago in Seaside, pretty much, came to me and basically told me that, you know, Jason was a very good officer. He was fair, treated him right, took care of business when he needed to, but at the same time, when he knew he was down and out and starving, he would be the first guy to pull a $20 bill out of his pocket and make sure he got a meal for the night. And so that struck a chord with me because I can absolutely see him do that, although I didn't witness it personally, but I am sure that there's many other people that have felt his compassion and his way of doing things, I guess. So again, Jason was very passionate about the youth, mentoring and basketball coaching. He has two daughters that are doing very well right now, and adjusting, I think, as well as any child can be when they know that their father's been killed in that way. But just watching him coach these kids and seeing the families that he's affected by being such a great mentor to them is just a legacy that will always be there for him. It's been really neat to see. One of the things that I kind of wanted to talk about as we're talking about these signs, and again, I've written that in the document. I'm assuming you all have a copy of that. That's why I'm not just necessarily reading it directly to you, but I am going to kind of cover this section just a little bit more because it does have a specific request. Jason married his high school sweetheart, Amy. They had two gorgeous daughters together, Jocelyn and Jaden, who adored their father. It's absolutely heartbreaking to see this family suffer through the tragedy of their loss during this line of duty death. While we experience loss during our lives, most never have their personal grief and anguish publicly displayed, like the Gooding family has had to endure. They understand the responsibility that comes with the death of their husband, father, the son, brother, and they humbly accept the recognition that accompanies the honoring of their hero. Our families regularly vacationed at Detroit Lake, both enjoying the summertime water recreation and wintertime cabin trips with excursions up to the snow line. It's at the request of Amy Gooding that if this memorial sign is authorized, that it be placed on the, I've gone pretty specific here, but basically as you're going up to Detroit up here and as you're entering town up there somewhere. So I've written in the eastbound side of the road as you approach Detroit Lake from the west. So it's viewed to all pass by on their way, way to or past the beautiful playground that Jason enjoyed so much. We spend a lot of time on that lake. My family has a cabin up there, and it has really become a place of solitude. Been up there a few times since Jason's been gone, and it's just been amazing time to reflect. And just there this last weekend over the holiday weekend and took the boys up to the snow and hoodoo and had some time at the cabin and really thought about my friend a lot. So thank you so much for your time. This is such a very important resolutions and signs that need to be going up, and you guys are doing some important work here, and I appreciate you very much for being here. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Mary Nunnenkamp. I'm the chair of the Oregon Law Enforcement Memorial Fund. That board consists of members from Malheur County Sheriff's Office, Sheriff Brian Wolf, and he represents the Oregon State Sheriff's Association. Retired Hubbard Police Chief David Dryden, and he represents the Oregon Association Chiefs of Police. Lynn County Sheriff's Office Senior Deputy Chris Hodick, and he represents the Oregon Peace Officers Association, and Mr. Jim Whitehead, and he is a parent survivor of Multnomah County Sheriff's Reserve, Mark Whitehead, and he is also the director of the Oregon Chapter Concerns of Police Survivors. And I'm also a proud retiree of the Washington County Sheriff's Office. Madam Chair and committee members, thank you so much for making time for us today. You have my formal testimony in front of you. So what I'd like you to know, though, is today in the room we have Jason Gooding's parents, Dean and Patty Gooding, and another of Jason Gooding's very good friends, Lieutenant Bruce Holt from Seaside Police. These signs are incredibly important to us. And I think we sometimes wonder how much of the community recognizes what we do. Last year, we were able to put a sign up in my county for my coworker, Robert Talbert. And that sign photo was posted on our social media. And we received a lot of comments saying thank you for doing that. The important part of what the Oregon Law Enforcement Memorial brings to this is that we raise money through the sale of the Fallen Public Safety Officer license plate, and the proceeds from that sale pay for these signs so that the agencies and the families incur zero financial obligation, as well the state, as Sherry mentioned earlier. I'm honored to be here, and I'm urging a yes vote, and I think we're all ready for questions if you have any.
Questions from the panel. Thank you very much, and thank you for your heartfelt testimony.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Okay, that's the end of our sign-up list. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on any or all of these resolutions? All right. With that, I will close the public hearing on SCR 6, SCR 8, SCR 9, and SCR 10. And I will open a work session on those Senate concurrent resolutions. Senator Ferrioli.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Would you like motions on all of them in series?
In series, please.
Yes, ma'am.
And with the notation that SCR 8 has an amendment.
Madam Chair, I move SCR 6 regarding Sergeant Michael Gooding, SCR 8 involving Deputy...
Just one at a time.
Oh, one at a time.
Yeah.
To the floor with the be adopted recommendation.
Senator Ferrioli has moved Senate Concurrent Resolution 6 to the Senate floor with the be adopted resolution. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. And we will ask Senator Johnson to carry this. Senator Ferrioli.
Madam Chair, thank you. I move Senate Concurrent Resolution 8. Madam Chair, I move the -1 amendment to Senate Concurrent Resolution 8.
Senator Ferrioli has moved the -1 amendment to Senate Concurrent Resolution 8. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Senator Ferrioli.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Concurrent Resolution 8 involving Deputy Roy Hugo Dirks to the floor as amended with a be adopted recommendation.
Senator Ferrioli has moved SCR 8 as amended to the Senate floor with a be adopted recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. We will ask Senator Prozanski to carry that. Senator Ferrioli.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Concurrent Resolution 9 involving Deputy Carlton Edmund Smith to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Senator Ferrioli has moved Senate Concurrent Resolution 9 to the Senate floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. We will ask Senator Prozanski, unless Senator Beyer has a connection.
Let's let Senator Prozanski do the three.
We'll ask Senator Prozanski to carry that. Senator Ferrioli.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move Senate Concurrent Resolution 10 involving Reserve Deputy Robert Milton Riley to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Senator Ferrioli has moved SCR 10 to the Senate floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there any discussion? Objections? So ordered. And we will also ask Senator Prozanski to carry that. And I want to thank all of you in the audience for coming to testify on these resolutions. We It's very important to honor the people who have given the ultimate sacrifice to protect all of us.
To your left, Madam.
Senator Robles.
Yeah, just a comment. It was nice to see how well represented Southern Oregon was with people who choose to make this a living. Reedsport was mentioned as a high school for two of them, Gold Beach, and my little town of Elkton that I get to drive through every time I come here, also mentioned as birthplaces for a lot of these people. So it's, and I would tell you that as a principal of a high school, we have a lot of kids that go in the military and a lot of kids that pick a life of service in police work on a regular basis from these rural areas, and it's really nice to be able to do these tributes. So I just want to make sure that I put that on the record, and thank you. In this particular case, so many of them came from very close to where I live.
Well, thank you for putting that on the record. Any other comments? Senator Beyer.
I would just note that it really does make a difference to the people. I was glad to hear that. I know since we put the signs up on the Beltline, I hear a lot from people about Chris's signs. So
yep. He's
well remembered, John.
Thank you. Other comments? All right. Thanks again, and we are adjourned. And we are adjourned. All right. Thanks again.